Now, I do want to say, because I know some of you biblical scholars out there may take a little umbrage with the fact that God said he was lonely. I believe that as Johnson presented that, he actually was using poetic license, not to say that God was lonely per se, but again, using poetic license just to picture God as coming forth and creating the world and mankind.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Elohim, God the Creator.
Was God schizophrenic? Right? Was he talking to people that wasn't there? No. He said, let us make man in our image. So there had to be somebody else there for him to say us. Well, who was the us? The Son and the Spirit. Now, notice this. This is something that will blow your mind. In Genesis 1:26, then God, let me let you take a guess. What name of God is that? Yeah, you got it right. Elohim. Elohim, right? Then Elohim said, Elohim, the Creator God, Elohim, the majesty of God, Elohim, the plurality of the Godhead. Then God, Elohim, said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. That deals with the three persons. But let me take you to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, where Moses writes, listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is what? One. He's one. In Genesis 1:26, it talked about the plurality of the Godhead. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says that, listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Quiz, another quiz for you, right? He says, listen, Israel, the Lord our God. Here goes the quiz. What's the Hebrew word for God? That's right, Elohim. Elohim. So on one hand, Elohim refers to the Trinity, to the three persons. On the other hand, the word Elohim refers to the fact that there's one God. Oh man, this word Elohim is rich. I mean, I think all the names of God are rich, but this word Elohim is found in its richness. And so in the beginning, Elohim, that refutes atheism that says there is no God, because in the beginning, there was Elohim. It refutes agnosticism that says that there is no proof that God exists. In the beginning, Elohim existed. It refutes humanism that says man is his own God. No, in the beginning, Elohim was the only God. It refutes materialism that says that matter is eternal. No, in the beginning, God is the only one that's eternal. It refutes polytheism that says there are many gods. No, in the beginning, there was only one God. It refutes pantheism that says that God is in everything and everything is in God. No, in the beginning, God is separate from his creation, Elohim. Now, this word Elohim is fine. Like I said, it's rich. Elohim, this word is just rich. And I'm always looking for the practical aspects of, you know, I heard somebody say, let me write that down, right? And that is the radio station. I was looking looking for my pen up here. The radio station WIIFM. Have you ever heard of that radio station? WIIFM. That radio station is what is in it. What is in it for me, right? WIIIFM. What is in it for me? So, you know, I'm always looking for when we talk about these Hebrew words, because, you know, we can stand up here and dazzle you with the Hebrew, and but I, you know, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's fine, but what's in it for me? You know, what does that mean to me? The fact that he is Elohim. How does that change my life? How does that affect my life? Well, the first thing that I want to say is that Elohim creates out of nothing. He creates out of nothing. Now, I so bad want to use my illustration, but I used it a couple of weeks ago about God and the scientists. So y'all might have not, y'all probably remember that. But you know what? There's probably some of y'all that missed that message. So let me go ahead and share the message. Let me share the illustration with you, right? And for those of you who heard the illustration, you can just maybe take a sip on your water real quick. And those of you who haven't heard it. But, you know, the scientists challenged God to a contest to see who could make the best man. And God reached down into the dust of the earth, and he formed Adam, and then he took his lips and put them on Adam's lips. Now, we know God don't have lips, right? So we're saying that anthropomorphically. He put his lips on Adam's lips, blew into him the breath of life, and Adam stood up and became a living being and started to function. And the scientists got ready to go do their thing. They got ready to go make their man. And they reached down into the dirt of the ground, and God said, ho, wait a minute. Get your own dirt. Get your own dirt, right? God is able to create out of nothing. And if God is able to create something out of nothing, this is my point on this particular one, that you ought to be able to trust him. Why do we have a problem trusting a God who, according to Hebrews 11, it said that he spoke everything in existence by the word of God, by his mouth, that there was nothing, right? And this is my big problem with evolution, is that, you know, evolution says that we come from a mass of chemicals, you know, a primordial slime. And, you know, my thing is, okay, say I buy that. Okay, say I came from chemicals in, you know, eons past. Say I came from slime. My question is, how did the slime get here, right? Because you can't get something out of nothing. And so in the words of that famous theologian, Billy Preston, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. That famous theologian. And I'm going to give Jeff a chance. He might want to play about 10 seconds of the song. So we'll give him a chance to put that in there, right? So go ahead, Jeff, do your thing. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Can you hear it in the background? Billy Preston, that great theologian. That great theologian. And so God creates what we call ex nihilo. Oh, come on, Pastor Glaze. There you go with the one of them 50 cent words again. Well, let me make it plain and simple. The word ex nihilo, nihilo, all it means is out of nothing. That's all it means, out of nothing. And when God created something out of nothing. He had nothing to work with. God had nothing to work with. And yet and still he created something. And if God can do that, I ought to be able to trust him. I heard the story about a man who was one of these mountain. He climbed up the side of the mountains and he had a rope. And he was climbing, and it was a couple hour climb. And it actually took a little bit longer than he thought it would take. It began to turn night. And then something happened where his rope, I don't know what exactly happened, but he went into a free fall, right? He just began to fall. But like all good rope climbers, what do? They secure the rope to something. And so eventually, he was able to hold on, and he stopped his fall. And a voice came, and it said, "This is God. Do you trust me?" And he said, "God, you know that I trust you. You know that I put my faith in you." God said, "If you trust me, let go." And the next morning, they found the man froze to the rope, 2 feet from the ground. 2 feet from the ground. God knows what he's doing. And if God can create something out of nothing, then I ought to be able, by faith, to trust this God. And whatever he's telling me to do, I ought to be able to step out on faith and say, "Lord, I believe that you can do it because you created something out of nothing." My next point is that Elohim can finish that which is unfinished. He can finish that which is unfinished. Listen to Genesis chapter 1 in verse, well, let's go back. Verse 1, "In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." This creation, according to the Hebrew words, was tohu evohu, which means that it was unformed and unfilled. That it was just a massive sea. It was a massive sea of water. And God was able to finish it off. God, if we go on and read the rest of chapter 1 and into chapter 2, we see that God was able to finish that unformed and unfilled creation, that God was able to finish it. And if God can finish that which is unfinished, truly, he can, as Paul said, "He that hath begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus." You see, God is not in the business of leaving his work undone. God is not in the business of, you know, like us. You know, I'll confess, I'm raising my hand, that when I look around my house, there's a bunch of unfinished projects. Oh, I see you out there in your living room. I see you out there at your kitchen table saying, "Testify, Pastor Glaze, testify." That we can look at our lives and see that there's a bunch of unfinished projects. But God is not in the business of unfinished projects. That God, when he started creation, it was unformed and unfilled, and God went through and he completed what he started. And as I look at my life, I realize that God is working on me. I like the kids' song that they used to sing years ago. It went something like this. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, oh, Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. There really ought to be a sign on my heart. Don't judge me yet. There's an unfinished part. But I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the master's loving hand. He's still working on me. It took him just a week to make the sun and the stars, Earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. That when you want to judge me and you want to look at my life and you want to point out all the faults in my life, I just want to let you know he's still working on me. You know, there's some things that I gotta get worked out. You know, I'm not perfect, but God has a plan. And in God's plan, he sees me as being unfinished and unformed. And he's the God who finishes that which is unfinished. And every day, as I come to him and I open my life to him and I say, Lord, I'm unfinished. Finish me. That God is still working on me. Well, the first thing we see is he can create, because he's Elohim, he can create something out of nothing. We see second that he can finish that which is unfinished. And then the third thing that I want to say, that Elohim's people, which are us, Elohim's people, which are us, that we are his special workmanship. We are his special workmanship. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says this: we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This word workmanship in the Greek is the word poema. And guess what word we get from that? What English word? Poem. Poem. That we are God's poem. That God has handcrafted us. That he has taken his pen and he has written a poem, a beautiful poem. And that beautiful poem is you. That you are God's workmanship. We are God's special craft. You know, on the slide that I'm putting up now, I found this, and I love it. And it says this: God formed us, sin deformed us, but God alone can transform us. Oh, I like that. I like that. Let me say that again. God formed us, sin deformed us, but God alone can transform us. You see, I need for you to see that I'm still on the wheel. You know, Jeremiah talked about the potter and the clay. And I need you to understand that I'm God's workmanship, because he is Elohim, because he is creator God, that he's still working on me, that my life, that my life is in God's hand. It's in God's hand. And God is shaping us on the wheel, and that he's putting the pressure where it needs to go, and then he's letting it out where it needs to be let out. And then he's smoothing where he needs to smooth. And that as long as I'm on the wheel, that God is working on me. God is working on my life. And the problem that with many of us is that we want to jump off the wheel. Stay on the wheel. I want to have this testimony. I'm still on the wheel. I'm still that Elohim, the Creator God, that I'm still on the wheel, that He's still molding and shaping my life. And I realize that if I'll stay on the wheel, that I can say this: Elohim made something beautiful of my life. Elohim made something good of my life. All of my confusion, Elohim understood, and He made something beautiful of my life. All I had to offer Elohim, all I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Elohim, for molding and for shaping my life. And I come before you today, and this should be our prayer every day as we come before Elohim, the Almighty Creator, Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the Living God, Spirit of Elohim, fall fresh on me. I have before me a pen. And this pen has a case. Now, this one doesn't say it specifically, but I heard of a pen that was manufactured, and it says, in case of malfunction, put the pen back in the box and return to the manufacturer. I want to let you know that one day, this old body of Pastor Glaze, it's going to break down. I want to let you know that one day that they're going to say that Pastor Glaze took his heavenly flight, and his body will be left here. And I just want to let you know, when you hear that, realize that I've been put back in the box, sealed up, and returned to the Creator. I've been returned to Elohim. That one day, the one who reached down and created us out of the dust, the Bible says, from dust thou wast taken, and unto dust thou shalt return. And that one day, this body might go to the ground, but it's going to be raised up one day, and it's going to go into the presence of Elohim. What a powerful, powerful thought, that I'm going to return to the one who created me, the Almighty God, who is the Creator.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. This concludes the series on the El Names of God. Join us next time for the first half of A Worthwhile Purchase. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Elohim, God the Creator, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Elohim, God the Creator. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Elohim, God the Creator, or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download the more than 400 teachings that are posted there. We also would like to invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It is through your faithful prayers and gift that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.